Hallelujah. I think it's the stand that.
Stand.
Is the problem with the leg?
I think it's the stand that keeps swinging.
I don't know. Depends. This harmony really takes a lot of work. And I gotta pick an easy one. I don't have to pump so hard. It's the only harmony you get. Chant the name of Hari. O brothers with blissful minds, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. Birth after birth and happiness, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. O brothers, you have obtained a human birth, now chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. O brothers, whether in prosperity or misfortune, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. Whether you live at home or in the forest, chant the name of Hari. Remaining in this material world for Krishna's purposes, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. O brothers, give up the association of one devotee and chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari. Falling at the feet of the Vaishnavas, chant the name of Hari. Chant the name of Hari, chant the names of Gaura and Nityananda, chant the names of Gaura and Gadadhar, chant the names of Gaura and Advaita.
Oh,
Anyways. I'm not going to be able to chant anymore, but just forgive me. Because the harmony is deep. It's very, very difficult for me to play. Maybe there's somebody else can accompany me. I can't play this harmony. It's very hard to pump from my back and I'm double B. So. I'll just read something.
I just do ask someone to pump it while you play.
Are you won't be able to do it. This harmonium just doesn't hold very much air. It's got a leak of some kind. And I don't think two people could do it at the same time.
It's the iPhone static detector.
So, Om Agyavitamadrasya Dhananjanasarakaya Chakshuramiritamina Tasmai Shri Gurvena Mukam Kuruti Masham Pangulangaya Chayani Yadkipatamayane Shri Gurvena Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Chasaya Mutule Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tikami Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaurava Pacharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhaskacharya Sadayani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Srivasa Gaurava Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Hare 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 Pancha Kalpataru Prishtha Kripa Sidhu Kriyacha Paritaram Pahari Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Last night I was speaking at the Bhakti Center. We were talking about the importance of chanting. And I was going to speak a little bit from some verses that I compiled from Chaitanya Bhagavat in reference to the verse Janada Bisunichina Dharana Bisunishana Mana Mana Nina Sadhari. I never really got to reading these verses. Something I spoke about something else. I've spoken on this subject before in different seminars in reference to compassion and the importance of cultivating the proper attitude if one wishes to dedicate, devote his whole life to chanting the holy name of the Lord. And it comes down to our dealings with others, our dealings with devotees and dealings with non-devotees alike. Sometimes we wonder how to effectively change people's hearts. Of course, Krishna consciousness can change anyone's heart. Krishna can act from within anyone's heart and make necessary change. We don't change hearts. We, as preachers of Krishna consciousness, our duty is to turn people's attention towards Krishna, and Krishna acts from within the heart. Krishna acts from within the heart to cleanse the desires for material enjoyment. When the heart of those persons who develop the urge to hear his messages when properly heard and chanted. Of course, they have to be properly heard and chanted. Nonetheless, Krishna can act from within the heart of anyone who turns their attention to him and can change their course of life. Awaken faith in their hearts, because ultimately it's faith or shraddha or faith in chanting the holy names of the Lord, faith in the association of Vaishnavas, faith in the conclusive truths of the scriptures. It's faith that enables a person to make progress and advance in Krishna consciousness. And we oftentimes use the example given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that the awakening of faith in the heart of a conditioned soul is like the birth of a baby girl. He gives the example that just like when a young baby girl takes birth, then the baby requires protection from hunger and thirst and heat and cold and dangerous creatures, and also requires to be properly nourished. If the baby is properly protected and given proper nourishment, then the baby is given all facility to grow into a healthy child. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses that analogy that shraddha, or the awakening of faith in the heart of a conditioned soul, is just like the birth of a baby girl. Shraddha is awakened by association of devotees, but if we're not careful, it can also be destroyed if faith is not properly protected. And he says that the heat and cold and hunger and thirst are compared to be like the desire for fruit of results, fruit of gain, the desire for liberation, the desire for freedom from suffering. These are all as described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Bhakti Nishkama Atayi Vashanta Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sakadi Vashanta. The devotee of Lord Krishna is desireless, and therefore he can be peaceful, whereas those who are desiring bhukti, sense enjoyment, those who are desiring liberation, mukti, freedom from suffering, those who are desiring siddhi, mystic yoga perfections, they still have some desire, lusty desires, the sakali ashanta. Therefore they can never be peaceful. Prabhupada also used to quote the verse of Bhukti Mukti Sprihayala Pisashi Hidivartite, Bhagavad Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which describes that Bhukti and Mukti, they're like two witches which haunt one like a ghost. And as long as these two witches are within the heart, then one will never be able to taste the bliss of devotional service. Compares it to be like two witches which haunt one like a ghost. So, therefore faith, establishment of faith, awakening of faith within the heart, comes through association of devotees. And when that faith is awakened within the heart, then Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Radhukra Nishati. That verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Satam Prasangam Mamavir Sambhavu Bhavanti Hritkana Rasayana Kata Taj Joshanat Ashwaka Varga Vatmani Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Radhukra Nishati. and in the association of devotees, the discussion of pastimes and activities of the Supreme Lord, they're very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. As long as one goes on and continues to hear in the association of devotees, then gradually his attraction becomes fixed, becomes freed. First he becomes freed from unwanted anartha's desires within the heart, his attraction becomes fixed, and then real devotional service begins. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that this is from the first stage of devotional service, Shraddha, all the way to the platform of prema, pure love of God. It is essential that one has to hear about the pastimes and instructions and qualities of the Supreme Personality of God in the association of devotees. And this is like the persons who do that, they're like the guardians of devotion who protect that Shraddha, that devotional kripa, so that one doesn't lose faith. And as soon as we become plagued by material desires, we become plagued by the desire for fruit of gain, or mystic yoga perfections, or liberation, and then Rupa Goswami says that one becomes haunted, like a ghost. So, as we said, that our dealings with others, we should always be very careful that we do not do anything to obstruct or impede a person's faith, or to break a person's faith in Krishna consciousness and the holy name of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that this faith is the most important commodity in the marketplace of the holy name. He explains that in the marketplace of the holy name, the currency that is used in the marketplace of the holy name for purchasing the pure holy name is faith. And therefore, if we actually want to help others, we should be very eager to collect their faith and offer it. Right? Just like Lord Chaitanya, he asked Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur to go out in the streets and tell everybody, please chant Krishna's name to worship Krishna, make Krishna your life. And he asked them to come back after each day from going out in Sankirtan. He asked them to please give you a report. He wants his Sankirtan results. It's like a Sankirtan leader who wants to know, what were the results of Sankirtan today? How many people did you convince to chant? How many people did you awaken faith in chanting the holy name of the Lord? They would bring that back and they would offer those results to Lord Chaitanya. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur specifically says in his commentary to one of the songs, I think it's Agyata Hal, where Agyata Hal means those who go out and patrol the streets and to deliver these instructions of Lord Chaitanya to everyone, tell everyone to chant Krishna, to worship Krishna, and make Krishna in their life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one should not go out and collect rice and milk, but he said this will not awaken faith. Simply to go out and to collect rice and milk, one should go out to collect others' faith. That with that faith, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one can come and purchase, even with a little faith, in the song Moro Sukhya Kabo Gai. We have here Moro Sukhya Kabo Gai. I'm going to get to these verses tonight. I don't want to make the same mistake I did last night and not read these verses. They're very nice verses. But in this verse, in this song, excuse me, what is this? Where am I? Oh, wrong place. He says, Sri Nityananda Prabhu is so extraordinarily merciful. Accepting only one's faith in the holy name, he bestows the topmost divine bliss. When Nittai sees a tear welling in someone's eye upon chanting the name of Gaura, he instantly gives his support to that person. Indeed, he bestows all divine opulences. He gives that person genuine realization of the pure teachings of Sri Krishna as found in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. While displaying all this inconceivable mercy, he pays no attention to one's caste, material wealth, mundane knowledge, or physical ability. In other words, he's not interested in these things. He doesn't consider who's qualified for devotional service. Somebody qualified because he has high education. Somebody qualified because he has bodily beauty. When Queen Kunti, she prays, Janmaishvaya Shuta Shabhya Idamana Matakuman. Right? She said, my lordship, you can be approached only by those who are materially exhausted. Those are on the path of spiritual advancement, of high education, bodily beauty, Janma. Aishvaya, wealth, Kamaishvaya, Shuddha Shuddhi, high education, modern beauty, aristocracy. They cannot know you with sincere feeling. So Lord Nityananda, he pays no attention to one's wealth, his knowledge, his physical abilities. These things are not the criteria that he takes into consideration for somebody's qualification for getting the pure holy name. What does he look for? Just that somebody has a little faith. That is all. Just a little faith. That's Prabhupada was just the same way. Prabhupada was looking for just a little faith. I remember I was very, when I first read Bhagavad Gita, I definitely took note of the point when Prabhupada said, even if you can't accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, that if you at least just theoretically accept that Krishna is God. It's just, he understood, that our faith was very fragile. But he came to a place of faithless persons, had no faith in Krishna. So he had to awaken that faith. In fact, in one lecture, I remember in the verse, Prabhupada was speaking on the verse, Shushusho Shanadana Siyam Vasudeva Kataruchi Siyam Mahat Sevayava Prapunya Tirtana Shevana. By serving devotees who are freed from vice, great service is done. By such service, one develops an attraction for hearing the message of Godhead. Prabhupada was speaking on a commentary, and Prabhupada, in his lecture, he said, I have given you your faith. I've given you. Of course, faith is there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajjakabundoi Shravanadi Sutachite Kore Udoi. The pure love for Krishna is eternally situated within the heart of every living being. It doesn't come from any other source. But when one hears about Krishna from the right source, then what happens? That faith is brought out. It's evoked. It comes. It's there. But it's brought out. And Prabhupada gives the example like the catalyst. So just like there's fire and wood, but you need the catalyst to bring out the fire and wood. So when you put some fire against the wood, you touch the wood, then it acts as a catalyst to bring the fire out of the wood. Although the potential for fire is already there. So faith is already there, love for Krishna is already there, but it needs the catalyst. So Prabhupada said, I've given you your faith. Prabhupada, of course, gave us so much faith because he was transparent. He had his firm faith when he wrote Markandeya Bhagavatam in Jaladutta. He ended his prayer to Lord Krishna, and he said, I have no qualification, I have only one qualification. Simply have firm faith in the holy name of the Lord. That is my qualification. Considered himself otherwise unqualified. In so many respects, we just read this song, Makane Bhagavad Dharma, the other night, and Autumn Prabhupada was speaking. How can I possibly awaken faith? How will they hear your message? Only you, if you want them to be delivered, then they will be delivered. Therefore, I pray you deliver them. The Prabhupada saying, I can't do it. So he awakened faith because of his firm faith in Krishna in the hearts of the conditioned souls. That Shraddha, as we said, it's awakened like the birth of a baby girl. And how did Prabhupada protect the baby girl from hunger and from thirst and from heat and cold and from dangerous creatures? Protected by his example. Showing his resolute determination, his selflessness, and that had no personal desire. He was always this definitely awakened faith. How selfless he was. Not interested. He was ready to accept any personal inconvenience, any personal austerity. He had only one interest, and that was how to awaken and to nourish faith so that the faith would grow. Prabhupada, many times when people would challenge about his Western disciples, Prabhupada would quote the verse, Yena Tena Prakarena Mana Krishna Nishivya. Nishivya? No. Yes. He says, it's the duty of the spiritual master to somehow or other get their minds fixed on Krishna. All the rules and regulations can come later. Somehow I just explain that. Somehow awaken their faith in Krishna. So here we see that in distributing the holy name of the Lord, Lord Nityananda, he doesn't pay any attention to one's material wealth, his mundane knowledge, his physical ability. He doesn't consider this to be in any way the qualification for somebody to take up devotional service and take up the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. What does he look for? Just simply, it's a little tear in one's eyes when he once chants the name of Gaura. One has a little faith. And as we know, that Lord Nityananda, his method of distribution of the holy name of the Lord was such that even if he was approaching somebody who was faithless, just by his method of distribution, he would awaken faith. He would fall on the ground, tears in his eyes, begging them, please chant the name of Krishna. This is all that he wanted. Crying, rolling on the ground. Complete absorption. And anyone would see that their faith would be awakened. Just like the story of Haridas Thakur. When Haridas Thakur heard the glories of Anantashesha, of the snake bite physician described in Chaitanya Bhagavat. The snake bite physician was speaking about Anantashesha, and when Haridas Thakur heard the glories of Anantashesha, he experienced such ecstatic ecstasy within the heart, he fell on the ground, began rolling on the ground in ecstasy. He lost complete control of himself because of his total absorption in the Lord. And everybody who saw him, they immediately stood aside. And they waited for him to come back to external consciousness, and they stood complete reverence upon observing the sight of such a saintly person who had such experience of the holy name of the Lord. Faith was awakened just by seeing him. Just by seeing him. Clasped their hands, and everybody stood and respectfully just waited. And then when Haridas Thakur came back to external consciousness, he became immediately embarrassed because then he saw everybody was looking at him, and he tried to leave that place immediately because he wasn't interested in recognition. He wasn't interested in anything, prestige. So, of course, then as the pastime goes on, is described. There was one envious Brahmin there. He's thinking that, who is this Haridas Thakur? He's taken a low birth. People are giving him so much respect. People have so much faith in him. I'm a Brahmin. He's born in a Muslim family. And such a low birth. I have a high birth, Brahmin birth. So why are they giving him so much respect and attention? So immediately fell on the ground and started rolling on the ground, crying, tears, false tears in his eyes. We have another one. We'll give it a try. And when the snake bite physician saw the Brahmin rolling on the ground, manifesting all the symptoms, he immediately took a stick and started beating him. And the Brahmin immediately, as soon as he felt one strike, a blow against his body, immediately demonstrated how aware he was of his external surroundings. He immediately jumped up and began running away out of fear, crying for his life. And all the people who had previously saw, you know, the snake bite physician standing by the side with his palms clasped, you know, showing full respect to Haridas Thakur, you know, and they all followed suit, showing respect to Haridas Thakur. They couldn't understand. They said, why is it that this Muslim was rolling on the ground and you had such respect, but when the Brahmin, you know, then you're beating him with a stick? And the snake bite physician said, actually, he was not qualified. He said he was simply imitating. He just simply wanted some prestige. That is all. He was envious of Haridas Thakur. And then he went on with his mouth unlimitedly chanted, with as if he had five mouths, chanting the glories, glorifying Haridas Thakur for his pure position of complete faith in the holy name of the Lord. And therefore he was ready to give him all respect. But this so-called Brahmin was simply a cheater, imitation, and envious of Haridas Thakur, and had no faith whatsoever in the holy name of the Lord. So he couldn't awaken faith. But Haridas Thakur, he awakened faith by his display of his complete faith. So, that is one example. There are many other examples that are given in the scripture of how Vaishnavas awaken faith. It's described that, you know, that the topmost devotee of the Lord, you know, he awakens faith in others simply by seeing him. Simply by seeing him, by seeing his absorption, chanting. Someone may have their faith awakened according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur by the forceful preaching of another Vaishnava, a Majjhima Bhakta. So faith can be awakened by preaching, but the topmost devotee of the Lord, even just he sits and chants. If someone sees him sitting and chanting, somebody just observes his activities, his behavior. Of course, Prabhupada did both. Prabhupada preached and was a perfect example. And therefore he was able to awaken faith by both by his preaching and by his example. Just as it was said by
Rupa?
No. Sanatana Goswami said to Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He said some people preach but they don't behave properly. Some people behave properly but they don't preach. Yeah. But you, Haridas, you both preach and your behavior is perfect, and therefore you could become spiritual master of the entire universe. Sanatana Goswami was glorifying Haridas Thakur in this way. Some people preach. What is that? I was just thinking, there's a quote I read in a book not recently by a mundane author. But it was an interesting quote. George Bernard Shaw, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Man and Superman? Who wrote the book? Yes, George Bernard Shaw. He said, those who can do, those who can't teach. That was an interesting quote. In other words, those who can't do it, they try to make a show that they can do it by teaching others that they can do it, but really they have no substance themselves. They can't do it. But they think that if they teach it, then they can, you know, they can teach what they can't, they themselves can't do it, and they convince everybody that they can do it. So those who can do, and those who can't, they teach. So Haridas Thakur could and taught, both by his behavior and by his words, instructions. In this way, he was able to awaken faith. So faith is obviously is very, very important. And once it's awakened, we should always be very careful to protect it. Ourselves, we protect it by keeping ourselves in the association of devotees who help us increase our faith. And if somehow Krishna, or spiritual master, engages us in a way by our preaching and by our example to awaken faith in others, then we should also be very careful to protect others' faith by a proper example and by giving appropriate instructions to protect that devotional creeper so it doesn't become influenced by dangerous creatures or hunger or thirst or heat and cold. But before I read these verses from Chaitanya Bhagavat, let's chant another bhajan. on this subject maybe. And I'll go back and I'll read these very nice verses. Let's see how this one works. Forgive me, I didn't mean to make any offense. It's hard.
I wasn't aware it was to that extent.
Yeah, well, you probably you probably play single piece, right? That day, in a concocted way. Using many pieces, so it's harder when you play, use many pieces.
There's more air goes out.
Yeah, more air. Mm. You need more air to back you up. Of course, you would think of my body, I could compensate, but it doesn't. Yes. This is better. I don't have to struggle as much. Let's chant something that everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
Bhaja Hurema.
Jan.
It's
a regular song. You have the songs of the Vaishnavacharyas. It's not before you?
This is not.
Bhaja Hurema is not there?
No. Well, if it's in
alphabetical. This is more songs, is this?
No, this is my song book.
Oh.
It's a song book I put together.
Oh.
From different sources. Huh? Not there. That's strange.
You don't have it. But it's
often you need that.
Huh?
Often you need to sell this.
Google that.
27.
Google it.
Google it. Which is a line of Ledger Gorilla. It's funny. That's what's going to stay.
No, I'm going to make it. It's not about you.
It's not about you.
Well, maybe it's not about you, actually.
Oh, what are we doing?
Trying to find it on the internet.
Bhaja. Bhaja.
Bhaja.
Bhaja Puri. Who? H-U. Oh. There we go. There you go. Good job. Good job. One second. One down. One more. Yeah.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, yeah,
just click it. All glorious.
Well, it's high tech. Here I am sitting with an iPad. It's my songbook.
Brown paper bag. Thank you.
Shina Manana. Thank you.
established.
It's a week now. We won't come as long. Sorry, 9:15 Is that the time?
Mm-hmm.
Alright. So maybe I should read those verses. This is a verse these verses speak for themselves. Give commentary. How does this let them speak for themselves? This is Chaitanya Bhagavad Gita Kanda, chapter 5. Vaishnava hingsara katha se takura dure sahaja jive rahe e dhamma pi dhukare Vishnu pujiya oye prajara pi dhukare puja vanshpare yaya aram dhukhe mare. What to speak of being envious of Vaishnavas if one causes pain to ordinary living entities? He is considered a fallen, low-class person. Even after worshipping Lord Vishnu, if a person gives trouble to other living entities, his worship becomes fruitless. Such a person suffers unlimited miseries. Commentary. This is commentary. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. His Tika on Chaitanya Bhava. If a person is knowingly or unknowingly envious of a Vaishnava who is engaged in the non-duplicitous service of Lord Hari, his degradation is inevitable. Of this there is no doubt. Apart from this, even persons claiming to be devotees of Vishnu are envious of ordinary living entities and give various troubles to them. They are actually far away from devotional service to Vishnu and are not fit to be called human beings. Their worship of Vishnu becomes the source of misery. Those endowed with an absence of jiva doya, of compassion for other living entities, and yet proudly consider themselves servants of Lord Vishnu, achieve the threefold miseries rather than the devotional service of the Lord. This is from Majjhikanda, chapter 19. Everyone, please give your thoughts to me. Please hear the truth I will now say. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking. Anyone who neglects my servant and then worships me is very lowly and degraded. Such a person cuts me into pieces. His worship is like fire burning my body. My holy name, which is a kalpa viksha tree, destroys anyone who once blasphemes my servant. The living entities who live in the numberless universes are all my servants. Therefore, any living entity who harms another living entity will perish. This is Majjhikanda, chapter 20. From Brahma down to the unmoving plants, every living being is Lord Krishna's potency. Therefore, all the scriptures say, anyone who blasphemes another angers Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna delivers any person who is not a blasphemer and who once chants Krishna. That is the truth. It is the truth. If a person studies the four Vedas and then blasphemes others, he will fall into the hell called Kumbhipaka. There he will suffer, birth after birth. Same chapter, text 212. If a sannyasi blasphemes an innocent person, the sannyasi will fall down, all his piety will perish. Raising his arms, Lord Chaitanya declared to the entire world, renouncing criticism of others, everyone, please chant Lord Krishna's name. I will personally deliver anyone who does not criticize others and who once chants Krishna. That is the truth. It is the truth. Very important teachings. More. Majjhikanda, chapter 10. A person who never blasphemes anyone and who chants Krishna, Krishna, easily conquers Lord Chaitanya, who is never conquered by anyone. All the scriptures declare, a person who blasphemes others will not attain the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches that one should respect everyone. Those are some few verses. There's more, but those are a few that I extracted. I extracted these verses because we were speaking on the subject about qualities of a devotee, how a devotee is one who never causes pain or suffering to other living entities. And of course, never intentionally causes pain. Sometimes somebody may feel pain by the behavior of a devotee. But the devotee never intentionally wants to see anyone suffering. The devotee is compassionate and wants to remove the suffering of others, but create suffering of others. The Prabhupada, I oftentimes quote in this connection, Prabhupada speaks about the verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tikshavakuru Nikasuri Dasavadehinam Ajata Shatavasa. Ajata? Ajata Satru Satru. The symptoms of a sadhu is that he's tolerant, he's merciful, he's friendly towards all living beings, he has no enemies, he's peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Prabhupada explains in one lecture in connection to that verse, he said that a sadhu will never provoke enmity by his actions. He never does anything that to intentionally provoke enmity, because he's always compassionate, he's always thinking how to elevate, how to uplift. He said, still sometimes we see that sometimes people may think themselves an enemy towards a sadhu. And Prabhupada explained, he said that actually we should understand that such persons who think that way, it's not never by the provocation of the sadhu, it's because of their own enviousness within their heart, and therefore they're thinking, oh, he's my enemy. He's threatening my power, he's threatening my position, he's threatening my attachments. You know, because of sadhu sometimes he has to cut by his preaching. He has to speak the truth. Even if sometimes it's unpalatable. So sadhu has to speak the truth. But the sadhu Prabhupada says that and therefore a person may feel enmity towards a sadhu, a saintly person. But he said that it's not because of the provocation of the sadhu, but it's because of the provocation of their own enviousness within their heart. But a sadhu would never intentionally cause pain to anyone. Vaishnava. He's compassionate. So these verses are all evidence that when we think about blasphemy, we think about criticizing, we think about, you know, respect, our tendency to think is that, well, yes, that refers to devotees. But Lord Chaitanya raised his hands and declared that all living entities throughout the creation are my servants. And therefore, one has to give proper respect. Why? Because, it's explained, because Krishna is within the heart of everyone. There's a story in the Bhagavatam about Lord Shiva and Daksha, I think, right?
Yeah.
Lord Shiva and Daksha. Lord Shiva, he actually gave respect to Daksha because And Daksha, he saw the Lord within the heart, and therefore he gave him respect. But Daksha, because he was so much attached to externals, he thought, I'm superior, I'm his father-in-law, he should have stood up and given me respect. And that's why Daksha cursed Lord Shiva. But actually, it's explained that Lord Shiva was giving respect to Daksha within the heart. And probably even said in the commentary in that verse, it's in the simile, when the disciple offers his obeisances to the spiritual master, so the spiritual master also, because he sees Krishna in the heart of the disciple, and within his mind, he's offering his obeisances back to his disciple. It's right in the comment. I think it's right in the commentary of that verse, Prabhupada says there. So, respect has to be there. We have to offer respect towards everyone. And it's also explained, an interesting quote. I happen to have it right here. It's a quote from Jiva Goswami. He says, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, since a Kanishta Adhikari who cannot properly respect other devotees will certainly fail to offer respects to ordinary living entities who are not even devotees. So he's saying that a Kanishta Adhikari, Kanishta is somebody who is, he's still thinking about his own sphere of activities, his Kanishta mentality. He doesn't properly respect and see the Lord within the heart. So many different examples given in the scriptures. The Kanishta, he sees only Krishna in the temple, but he doesn't see Krishna in the hearts of others. So therefore, Kanishta Adhikari doesn't properly respect even other devotees. That he'll certainly fail to offer respect to ordinary living entities who are not even devotees. So since a Kanishta Adhikari has this mentality, a Kanishta Adhikari is useless for practical preaching work unless he comes to a higher platform of understanding. Useless. Use the word useless. Jiva was one. So there has to be proper respect, even to the non-devotees. If we want to actually have compassion, we actually want to awaken faith in others, we actually want to help others to advance in devotional service, then we actually have to see that Krishna is in their heart. And as we said right in the very beginning, we're not making people Krishna conscious. We're not making devotees. Krishna is acting within the heart, and we have to offer proper respect to the super soul within the heart of others, and to the living entity whose body is a temple of the Lord within the heart. And then, by offering proper respect in this way, when preaching, it doesn't necessarily mean we offer respect that we take everybody and we give them an elevated seat, we offer arctic to them, offer obeisances to them. Respect means that we respect that Krishna is there within their heart, and we don't mistreat them. We don't cause them any suffering. We don't cause them any pain or harm. One who blasphemes, criticizes, or causes pain to other living entities, as Jiva Bhakti Siddhanta said right here, he said that worship of Vishnu becomes their worship of Vishnu becomes the source of their misery. Those who are endowed with an absence of jiva doya, of compassion for other living entities, and yet proudly consider themselves servants of Lord Vishnu, achieve threefold miseries rather than devotional service of the Lord. So, anyways, I wanted to read these verses last night in connection to the verse Trinada Pisu Nichina, Trinada Pisu Vishnana. I never got to read them, so I thought I would read them tonight. They're instructive. They are important for all aspiring Vaishnavas, especially those who aspire to preach and to influence others, to awaken faith and Krishna consciousness to others, and Krishna consciousness in others, and those who actually want to serve as instruments for Srila Prabhupada in expanding his mission of Krishna consciousness and bringing others to his lotus feet, then we should carefully abide by these instructions and this way treat with proper respect all living entities and be very careful not to criticize, cause pain. I'll just end by, this is something I quoted last night. I thought it was something my godbrother told me, and that was very nice. I looked it up to confirm it this morning, something Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and it was practically exactly as Pierre Arnaud had told. He said that Tamal Krishna Maharaj was once speaking to Prabhupada, and he asked Prabhupada, what is the difference between calling a spade, fault finding, and blasphemy? Prabhupada gave an interesting answer to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. First answer, his answer was, calling a spade, is it just like if I say to you, you are insignificant as a fig? That is calling a spade. And what were the other two? Prabhupada was calling humbling his disciple. I'm calling a spade, you are insignificant as a fig. And then Tamal Krishna said what the other two was, you know, was fault finding. And Prabhupada says, yes, finding fault. He said, just like he said, there are different creatures, different animals, I think he said. He said, there are the flies who they are interested in simply going to the source. And he said, then there are the bees who are simply interested in going to the honey. So the flies, they're always looking for the bad. And he said, and the bees, they're always looking for the best in everyone. So that is the fault finder. He's like the fly going to the source. And then he said, and blasphemy, and Prabhupada's answer to that, blasphemy, Prabhupada said, even though a person has all good qualities, he said, even if a person has all good qualities, if you look and find some bad quality in that person, even though it doesn't exist, and we fault them, he said, that is blasphemy. That is blasphemy. And we gave the example last night in that connection of, we used the example of Ramachandra Khan and Haridas Thakur. Mm-hmm. Ramachandra Khan, he couldn't tolerate that Haridas Thakur had so much respect, so much glorification. Everybody was coming and offering respect because he was a saintly person, totally dedicated to chanting the name of the Lord. So Ramachandra Khan, with his mentality, he was thinking that certainly Haridas Thakur had the same mentality as everyone else. If I send some beautiful, provocative prostitute, certainly he will fall victim to her lusty desires. So he was thinking that Haridas Thakur would had this fault, that he would fall victim. Of course, Haridas Thakur delivered the prostitute. So he was finding fault, even though there was no fault there. Prabhupada said, that's an example of blasphemy, which we all know what happened to Ramachandra. He lost everything because of this blasphemy of Haridas Thakur. Anyways, that's interesting. I thought interesting quote from Prabhupada to conclude the subject of offering respect and not criticizing and finding fault with others. So I think it's late and everybody should take prasadam. Anybody have a quick question? Yes.
At this time of year, at the end of the year, many people like to assess how the year was. Even in this country, they look back at the economic achievements or non-achievements, and they conclude, progress. So, as devotees, sometimes it's nice to reflect back on the year and think about how we made some advancement or not, maybe. So my question is there is it detrimental to remain too long at a certain stage? Tonight you've spoken about different stages and levels of faith. So, you know, if we're feeling within ourselves that we've remained at a certain level of faith or stage in devotional service for quite some time, is that detrimental?
Detrimental? It can be, yes. Because it's very hard to stay at a certain level. And because Prabhupada oftentimes used the example in lecture 1, lecture 2, 3, 20. He said that mind is very strong, but we're very weak. And if we're a little bit inattentive and not trying to advance, mind is there and she can capture us at any moment. And she can. We're very tiny and insignificant, as Prabhupada many times reinforced, for a reason. But we should understand our insignificance. As he said, yes, you're insignificant as a fig. He did that for a reason, because we're supposed to be really feel helpless and dependent, totally dependent on Krishna. And if we become complacent, then Prabhupada says that. He says that in one lecture, I always remember this because it was a lecture he gave in 1973, just before he was in the temple. He said we are always in the middle of the ocean, and we have to be careful. We're in the middle of the ocean, and at any moment we can be affected by the influence of the ocean of material existence. He said, he gave the example of when one comes to Krishna consciousness, Maya will test one if one is coming to serve Krishna or disturb Krishna. He said, therefore, we always have to be very careful to take shelter and to not become complacent. This is the essence of what Prabhupada was saying, the dangers of complacency. Because as soon as we become a little complacent, then we can be easily captured by the illusory illusion. So complacency is dangerous. And therefore, if we do, make a self-analysis of ourselves and feeling that, yes, I've become a little bit complacent, or I'm not really endeavoring or striving to advance in devotional service, I found my little niche where I'm comfortable. Bhaktivinoda Thakur does talk about this in Bhakti Loka. He gives the example that, you know, that one actually has to go through different stages and advance his own stage. He should not try to go beyond his level of advancement. He says it's danger if he tries to do that. So once he comes to a certain stage and he knows what are the symptoms of that stage he's at, then he should try to accomplish what needs to be accomplished at that stage, and then gradually he can move on. So he warns that one should not try to go beyond. But at the same time, one still has to become qualified in that particular stage that he's at, so that he can move on. But if we become a little complacent and we don't, then we should understand we have to seek out the association of devotees who actually push us a little bit by their association to become more advanced. That's how we can overcome our own complacency. But the tendency is, I don't want to be pushed by anybody, I want to go at my own pace. But sometimes, if we come in the association of devotees who are more advanced, who are more determined, who have stronger faith, and we begin to realize, wait a minute, I still got some ways to go. So a sincere person, a sincere sadhaka, is somebody who wants to advance. He doesn't want to stay at that level. So they associate with such devotees for the purpose of trying to advance. And don't feel threatened by them, or don't try to find fault with them. Because it's like a razor's edge. So it is dangerous to be complacent. It can be dangerous. But if one understands their level what their level at, what the capacity is for surrender, and then at that particular level, they should still try to become steady at that level. You know, because anishtita bhakti, the symptoms of anishtita bhakti is, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur very elaborately describes in Mandirya Kadamani, you know, anishtita bhakti is unsteady devotional service, and there are certain symptoms of unsteady devotional service, beginning with utsaha maya, ganatarala, yudhavikalpa. These are all, you know, terms of yudhavikalpa means going back and wavering back and forth in our devotional service, where sometimes we feel like renouncing and sometimes we feel like I can't renounce, and we go back and forth, and then this Vishaya Sangama, or where one tries to give up sense gratification, then becomes entangled with the very same thing he tries to give up. A certain thing that he can't seem to give up, he knows is an obstacle, and he makes a vow, I'm going to give it up, but then the very next day he's doing the same thing he vowed that he wanted to give up. So it's weakness. It's anishtita bhakti. And then another example is another stage is when he makes a vow to do something. Like, for instance, I'm going to completely fast nirjal every Ekadasi. This is hypothetical. You make a vow. And then next Ekadasi comes, you start off really good, and somebody walks by with some really nice prasad. And you really think, well, I'll start next Ekadasi. So that's another symptom of the bhakti. And the last stage is called Tarangarangani. Tarangarangani is a stage where when one is engaging in devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, he gets some respect, he gets some position, maybe he gets some power, and he tries to enjoy all the benefits of his austerities. Now let me enjoy the respect, let me enjoy the authority, let me enjoy the fact that I've got my office, I can control, I've got all these things, you know. But that's Tarangarangati, that's another symptom of anishtita bhakti. So if one actually wants to advance and really come to this platform of nishta, of steadiness of devotional service, he has to go through the clearing stage of anartha nivritti. And to become freed from anarthas, it's not something we can do by our own effort. You know, we need strength to overcome our anarthas. And that strength means that we have to associate with those who give us strength. Without associating with those who give us, the strength has to come from outside ourselves. There's a verse, Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhya, Acha Pramatat Tapaso Vyapya Lingat, Mundaku Prashanta Upanishad. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be attained by those who have no spiritual strength. And Prabhupada quotes that verse in the Krishna book, where he talks about Lord Balaram as the source of spiritual strength, and he says, therefore, one has to associate with the spiritual master to obtain spiritual strength from him to overcome inartas, unwanted things in the heart. So, association is the key. It really is association. So, how do we avoid becoming complacent? We seek out ta'ete sadavasandhi sarvasanga vivajita sangaste shatate pratya sangadosha parahite. Seek out association of devotees who have some attachment for Krishna consciousness, manifest some quality that we ourselves want to obtain in our advancement in devotional service. And by associating with them, and Lord Kapila Dev says, hear from them, associate with them, and by coming attached to their association, it will counteract the pernicious effects of our material attachments. I guess a little bit of detail then to give a whole lecture on the subject, but I thought your question warranted a little bit of detail. Yes. He's actually saying that in my wife. Thank you. So we'll stop here. How are you? stay for 5 minutes? For, is there a reason? Oh, I can stay for a few minutes here. What is the meditation?
Hare Krishna. So we have all the Vaishnavas together. We'd like to thank His Holiness Niranjan Swami. So let's thank Him with a loud Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!